Welcome, Housing Happy Hour fam. Thank you for tuning in to episode 11. Woo-hoo. Today we're going to level up. What do you know about leveling up, Vanessa? Yeah.
Level up. Level up. Woo. Level up, level up, level up. Sierra's going to be like, send the lawyers now. Hopefully. But no, honestly, guys, before we start the podcast, you know, we had to just play a little bit of theme music, and Level Up was the song. And it is important. It is important to just have that, I guess, some of that energy.
Yes.
to make
the
you,
vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Put your posture up and get that mindset of wanting to become better. So Katrina and I want to do something different this episode, and interview me, and then I interview her. And it's more about the business. It's more about how we're balancing both the business aspect and life. And the challenges and what's working, what's not working, and how we've been leveling up through that.
Yeah, what we're working on at the moment.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to start with Vanessa. Yeah. So Vanessa, if you haven't tuned in before, Vanessa is our builder. She goes and she builds houses for the underprivileged, underserved of Houston. She's managed to do this in, what is it, 3 years?
Yeah, we started in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she is a powerhouse. She has the people of the city council calling her, please, please send in your bid. We want you on this job. We want you on this project.
And that took work.
So currently, what projects are you working on?
Yeah. So at this time, I have 4 homes on the ground, and I have, or I take that back, 5 homes, 4 that we're building brand new. The 5th one, we've taken over another builder's project who wasn't able to finish. Mm-hmm. And then we just closed on 5 lots last Thursday.
Oh, congratulations.
So that is in terms of what we own or have possession of. 10
nice.
Projects.
Nice. So what do you have in the pipeline? Like, what are you planning for this year?
Yes. So in the pipeline is always growing.
Evolving.
So I am looking to change up my business model some. And one thing about real estate is that prices are always going up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we normally do single family, 3-bed, 2-bath, nice yard size. And we may start transitioning into more of a medium density is what you would call it. So like townhomes, patio homes. Mm-hmm. So now going vertical, 2 stories. So that we're looking at that type of product. So
right.
Buying a lot, replatting it. And what that means is taking that lot and turning it into a few different single lots.
Right.
So that is what I have in the pipeline. And also to get to 10 homes a quarter, that
right.
is my ultimate goal. I've been averaging about 20 homes a year, and I would like to get to 40. I'd
wow.
like to double that. And I think I've been putting in the systems in place to do that.
That's so awesome.
And the time. So do you see my bags?
Those are designer bags right there.
Exactly.
So what challenges have you faced to get to this point?
The scroll. Yeah. I have faced a lot of challenges, actually. Not on the building side.
Right.
For cold client builders, the challenges that we have are very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what comes with the business.
Right.
So we have like home maintenance calls here and there where we have to come back and fix up something.
Right.
But that's normal.
Right.
Anything you buy sometimes needs a quick fix. But in terms of like before that.
Right.
That was tough.
All the paperwork that you had to submit. And
no, I'm talking about more like when I first got started into real estate. So I'm talking that 2011 between 2015.
Okay.
Was tough. So, and that was, I'm a novice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was doing. And it was probably taking on more than I could handle and didn't have the competence, didn't have the wisdom, did not have probably the right mentorship and partners and resources. So, I dealt with some legal issues and lots of losses. So once again, in terms of leveling up, which is the theme here, mentally, kind of like Bilal was talking about in the last episode, mentally you've got to be strong.
Right. Like resilient.
You have to be resilient.
Yeah.
You can't let one thing that has knocked you down keep you down.
Right. Well, that determines your success because even I think if we went to Warren Buffett or any successful person, they had challenges. They didn't just become an overnight success. Yes. But if they let that challenge keep them down, they would never have arrived where they are now.
Yes.
That's good. So what advice would you give for someone who wants to be a builder?
What advice? Good question. What advice would I give to someone who wants to be a builder? So I personally leveraged off of someone else who had construction experience.
So you had good relationship. You had a mentor. Yeah.
Yes. So my business partner currently, he's the one that has the 20-year, 30-year construction knowledge.
Experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I didn't start this company just me. Oh, I could build some houses. Yeah, I have a painter and I have a carpenter. Absolutely not.
Right.
Like, you have to make sure somebody's on your team understands the structural integrity of how this home is to be assembled.
Right.
And so I would encourage that if that is something that you're interested in, that you, if you don't have the formal training and you did not go to school for it,
right,
partner up with somebody who has the construction experience but may not be performing on that next level building projects.
Right.
Somebody who's still kind of barely making it or doing just onesie twosies here and there, and you just say, hey, like, let's consider a partnership and have a business plan of how you're going to do it. My partner and I had a business plan, and then just go from there. Let it evolve however it is, and get clear on the market that you're serving.
Right, what your goal is.
Yeah, I was very clear that I was serving first-time home buyers, the affordable housing space.
Because you have a passion for that. That's something that you have a heart for.
It wasn't just, we're going to do some high-ends here, we're going to do some affordables here, we're going to, no. Because then you're all over the place.
Right.
And then your business
model needs to...
Yeah, your team meetings try to figure out, okay, so what do we focus on?
Right.
Well, we've got everything on this board right here.
We have a buffet.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's how, that's a potential recipe for failure, which
right.
I think in my previous businesses, that's what it was. There was no clear vision.
Right.
There was no clear mission. And it was just all over the place. Yeah.
That's good.
You want to get started to build your own, I would say partner with somebody who understands construction first.
Well, is it fair to say that you manifested to where you are now? Like you manifested this partner that you have, or you manifested being in the place you are now? Maybe it wasn't a clear, concise, I want to be a builder, but you manifested to get where you are now?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm big on meditating, and I know Katrina is too. Like, that's the whole reason why you and I are even sitting here together.
Right, right. It was like alignment, pure alignment.
Yeah. Everything was just about being consciously aware, setting the intention.
Right.
And just doing things that from a different space, a more, it's like a spiritual foundational space where we're very clear and we're very in tune and in alignment with what we're doing. So to answer your question, yes, I was visualizing this partner who knew what he was doing and had that experience in relationships. And I think I might've told him once, I think I might've told him that I manifested you. I can't remember.
Had a dream about you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, so kind of going back to between 2011 and 2015, I was so clear that I did not want that relationship. I did not want that business relationship anymore. I did not want that business model anymore. And it forced me to get really clear of what I did want.
Right. A lot of times we can determine what we do want by really writing down and being clear on what we don't want. Yes. For me, that's really hard to say, well, I want this, this, and this. But the way that I flip that around is I list out what I don't want, and then I can flip that into, well, that means that this is what I do want.
Correct. Correct. And I say that because some people may be in a space of uncertainty,
right,
and not sure what it is. Well, pay attention to what your gut, your intuition is telling you. If it's telling you like, I really don't like this, well, then open up that journal and start getting clear of what it is that you do want.
Right.
Because our thoughts are creative. Our words are creative.
We are co-creators of our lives. We are
co-creators. And I live by that. Because my life is a manifestation of that. So yes.
That's so powerful. I love it. Yeah. So since you're a working mom, just like me, we both are, that's something that we're very passionate about as well. How do you balance work life and mom life?
Ooh, there is no balance. I'm sorry to tell you. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. My personal life is, needs a lot of work. I can say that I have been more present with my kids.
Right.
So that was important to me because I was noticing that I was barely even paying attention to my daughters. And that's not fair.
Right.
That's not right. I don't care what project you're working on. Like, you have a responsibility.
Right.
When you have children. So I have been more present. I would say, like, I don't cook a lot. I barely cook at all. And that's tough for a family.
Right.
And I am very aware that every time we come home, everybody's like, what's for dinner? And I'm like, let's go down the list of what's around the corner.
Let's Uber eat something.
Yes. So I'm trying to get better at that. And at least trying to prepare and plan, like meal prep would help. So there's no excuses, but it is tough.
Right.
It's tough, especially when I invest so much time into my business and making sure that the quality is there and everything is perfect. But that's no excuse to, I think it was some sermon I was listening to, and he's like, or maybe it was a relationship doctor, but she was like, yeah, you're giving your best at work. Like, oh, this is everything. It's ready. She's like, and then you come home and you're depleted.
Right.
And your family gets the leftovers.
Right.
That's awful. So to answer your question, I have a lot of improvement to do as it pertains to becoming a better mom and becoming a better lover. And I am very aware. I just need to, I guess, put down the action steps to do it and
right.
stay committed to
it. I feel like sometimes it's seasonal. You know, like it's not exactly balancing where it's always going to be equal, but it's in some seasons you're going to pour more into your business. And in some seasons you're going to be pouring more into your children.
Yeah.
But that's how it balances, is that at this moment, this is getting more of my time, but at another moment, they're going to get more of my time.
Yes.
Type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. I like it.
And I think it's important to be honest.
Right.
Because
of course.
I could definitely, you don't know my personal life. No. I could say, I'm amazing. I'm mother of the year, you know? And they're like, man, like, how is she doing it all? And
right.
I'm like, no, it is tough.
It's tough.
It's tough. Especially I got to get a proposal out at a certain hour. I've got to get this report out at a certain hour. But yet my daughter has a test tomorrow. And
right.
the other one is just now learning how to read. And I need to go over her flashcards. Oh, but by the way, there's still no dinner ready.
What are we going to do?
Egg sandwiches. Everybody come quick. My kids are like, Mom, I am tired of these egg sandwiches.
You have peanut butter and jelly tonight, please?
Yeah. I'm like, eggs have good protein. You'll be good. But that's messed up. But yeah, I'm trying to do better.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, where I lack at home, I try to hire it out.
Absolutely. Oh, the cleaning for sure. I'm not touching cleaning. I'm
because
not touching laundry.
I can't. You can't do it all. You
There's
can't
no
be
way.
Everything to everyone, because then when you do, you're not able to make yourself happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Good news. Good news.
So now I'm going to ask Katrina the questions. And Katrina's the mom, the wife, also the rehabber.
The rehab mom. That's what I like to call myself.
Cute rehab mom. And, you know, and we're talking about leveling up here.
Right.
So, you know, how you're able to level up through the whole process of all the things that you've got to juggle in life.
Right.
But first, let's start off on some of your projects. So what are you currently working on now?
Currently, I'm looking for a new flip. My goal this year is 6 flips this year. I don't work with a team. Like, I don't have a partner. I tried that early on. I didn't really like how that worked. I'll work with silent investors, or I'll do hard money lending like Bilal was talking about in the last episode.
Yes.
But for me, I usually find these houses through the MLS or through other wholesalers. I've found them on HAR. But my problem with the other wholesalers is a lot of them, their margins are so big that it takes away from your profit. So I haven't really found a wholesaler that has fit my business model on a continual basis. Or maybe they're selling a house and their profits are $15,000, $20,000.
Yeah.
Just to pass you the deal. And then that you lose that in what you can profit on. Or if you tear into a wall and there's a problem,
yeah,
you paid too much for this house. So you're going to be eating that.
So to give people a little bit who don't, those who don't understand what a wholesaler is, what is a wholesaler?
So a wholesaler is pretty much a middleman broker. They don't have to be licensed. A lot of times they're those people that put the signs out that says, I buy houses for cash. And they find distressed homes, or they find homes that people need to get out of. Mm-hmm. And they put a contract on the home. They usually use the option period to sell the home to an investor. And usually they have a pipeline of investors that they send their deals out. I get so many deals on a daily basis sent to me from other wholesalers.
Yes.
But you have to do your due diligence and know, like, is this legit, or is this, you know, they just found this home and they're putting these numbers and they don't really know their numbers. Because, again, they don't have to be licensed. They don't usually know the market like someone that has farmed that market.
Yes.
They found this house and now they're going to resell it to you.
Mm, that's good. So when you do receive these deals from the wholesaler,
yeah,
how do you determine if it's a good deal? How are you analyzing?
So I have a sample. If you want to email us at housinghappyhour@gmail.com, I can send you an example of my Excel spreadsheet, but I always plug in numbers into this Excel spreadsheet. It's like my Bible when it comes to flips.
Yes.
I'll put in my house cost, the ARV, and the estimated profit. So, and I'll just plug and chug different numbers, but I always give a 3% holding cost. I put a 3% for closing cost, and I put a 3%, as I call my oh shit budget, like a pipe burst or something happened that was unpredictable. And then for me, my
the contingency.
Yeah. Thing. My target profit is also in there. And so like the estimated profit, given what the numbers I put in, and it'll also tell me, well, my target profit was this, which my target profit in this is 20%. But that also depends on the area.
Yeah.
And how much you're buying the house for. So my target numbers are usually, I like to stay under the $300,000 for my resale. So my target profit usually is going to be higher in percentage. But if I'm buying a house at $500,000, $600,000, my target profit might be closer to 10%, 15%. Yeah. So it just depends.
Yeah.
But also like if it's a buy and hold, I want to make sure that my target monthly profit is at 1%. That's my business model for me, what works for me.
Yeah.
But everybody's different.
Everyone is different. Yeah, absolutely right. So, and just to piggyback on that, this is Katrina's business model.
Right.
So
right.
This is how those are her parameters.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the investor next door or utilizing those same numbers or those same parameters. So
right.
It really just depends on your goals.
Right. And someone that's doing the work themselves. Like I have a general contractor that does most of the work. Sometimes I'll go in there and I'll do some stuff. There's things that I can do. I like to do the demo when I can, when it's not like
cute.
Too much. But like if it's a lipstick flip, again, that's different.
Yeah.
So every scenario is different, but I always use this. Doesn't matter if it's a lipstick flip, if it's a whole flip, if I'm tearing down walls, like,
yeah,
this is my method that works.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's now start talking about the balance piece. So, because you have how many?
I have four kids.
Four, girl. I thought my two was a zoo.
Yes, all from the ages of 1 and 9. Wow. The baby still doesn't sleep through the night.
Wow. So. And how do you manage that? How are you balancing that? How does that look for you?
Well, like I was saying on the previous episode, is that I don't believe that it's ever going to be perfectly balanced. I feel like we're going to be able to give 100% to different areas, yeah, but it all ends up balancing out eventually, right?
Yes.
I primarily work from home, which helps me. I get the kids ready for school. I take them to school, pick them up, and I'm there for homework and activities.
Yeah.
But when they're at school, that's my like crunch and work time. Mm. And when I'm doing a flip, I'm not in that house 24/7, but I'm in and out.
Yeah.
All through the week. Mm-hmm. I have a good team, my general contractor that I trust, and we have a good relationship. And I think, again, in real estate, everything's about relationships.
Absolutely.
Early on, when I did take on a partner, that wasn't their vision. For them, it was all about numbers. Mm. But for me, I feel like sometimes you got to lose a few pennies to get the right person as your workers, your general contractor. Sometimes you got to pay a little more. But in the end, over the long run, it pays off.
Because, you know, the job is going to get done. It'll correctly get done right. And
exactly.
Usually on time, give or take. Yeah. But if not, there'll be some communication there.
Right.
Throughout the process.
And it's good work. You know, you don't want to put your name on something that's not good work.
No, no. Because that's your reputation.
Right.
Yeah. They're like, have you seen Katrina's home?
Yeah. So back to the question.
Yeah.
My husband, he's very hands-on. He's very helpful. That's another good bonus.
That's awesome.
He's very understanding and supportive because he probably gets less of me than everybody, everybody else. But again, like we were saying, is sometimes you have to hire out help, you know, and build a team of people that can help you with those things. My housekeeper, she's part of my team.
That's right.
Sometimes we're doing Uber Eats because we can't cook. So there's just a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
But trying to be present when I am there, it's not perfect. Trust me. Yeah. When I'm in the middle of something, like, and it's like, I have a time deadline, that's when I'm the most stressed. And again, the kids pay for it. My husband pays for it. Cause now I'm crazy mom.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I remember there was one time where my daughter, I don't know how I ended up in her room, because I'm trying to find like a quiet spot because they're everywhere in the house besides their own room.
Right.
So then I go in their room to try to finish up an email. And then here she comes, my little four-year-old with her iPad blasting some cartoon. And I just
YouTube
like,
kids.
I'm like trying to finish this and I can't think because there's noise. And I'm like, can you get out? And she's like, what? Like, this is my room, my four-year-old. And so she then go tells her dad, but I told her to get out her own room. And then I hear him yelling from upstairs, don't tell my baby to get out her room. You get out her room. And I'm like, all of you guys are just like not supportive of me. But once again, crazy mom.
Yeah.
And then after I sent the email and I calmed down, I was like, I'm so sorry, guys. Like,
I came back to reality.
And my four-year-old, I'm sorry I kicked you out of your room. But anywho, it's just one of those things that, like you said, with the timelines, the deadlines, the pressure sometimes, and us always wanting to, on the outside, to our customers and our partners, we want to look like that polished, you know, business person.
Yes.
You know, and once again, something somewhere else is going to suffer in some form or fashion.
Exactly.
But the good thing is there's an end objective, you know. We're doing good work out in the community, and I think it's important to have those conversations at home. And I don't think I do a good job at that, and I should do a better job, like conveying to my family, hey, this is something that I'm working on. This is something that I'm passionate about, and I don't want to neglect you guys. I want us all to be on the same page that there will be times that I am going to need a bit more silence. So maybe I should go to Starbucks or something and put on my headphones. But we'll have to figure that out as a family.
Right.
if this is something, because mommy's not going anywhere as it pertains to real estate.
Right, right.
You know,
well, and it's setting a good example for them. Like, I want my girls to see me as a strong, hardworking, independent woman that I can take care of myself.
Yes.
And I want them to as well be the same thing if that's what they choose to do.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not happy just being stay-at-home mom. I've tried it.
Right, right. Yeah.
I need something else for myself to put my mind into.
That's right. Awesome. So what advice would you have for someone who is looking to become a rehab investor?
Well, I think like we talked about in the last episode and the previous episode as well, is a lot about relationships, mentors. I'm always looking for another mentor, you know, because you can get only get so much from each person, and you can only give so much to each person.
Yeah.
And so I think a good mentor can always help you to grow and learn. It's not HGTV. What you see on the TV is not reality.
If one more person said, well, on HGTV,
they make it look really beautiful and editing. Yeah. Makes it look easy.
Yes.
But I love it. I have a creative mind. And so for me, that's the part that I love about flipping is I love creating something that was not so good and turning it into something good.
That's awesome.
So definitely relationships.
Perfect. Beautiful. Thank you guys for tuning in. Housing Happy Hour. Always be sure to follow us on all media streams. For Katrina's spreadsheet, if you guys want a copy of that, if you want to start punching numbers in and start practicing, she's more than willing to share that. HousingHappyHour@gmail.com. Stay tuned, guys. If you have any requests of what you want to hear, let us know. We're always willing to bring in expert speakers. And truly and genuinely, Katrina and I just thank you and we appreciate you. And Guild Texas Media, they thank you as well. We love that you guys are tuning in. Together and collectively, we're all being empowered and we're growing. So thank you guys. We love you.
Thank you.